Welcome to episode 72 of The Ball Run, the official podcast for snooker professional Stuart Bing. This content is sponsored by renovation specialists R&J Carpentry and Construction, and it's a show in which I, sports journalist James Colasanti, ask the man nicknamed Ball Run about recent results, life on tour, and life in general. Good morning, mate. How are you on this chilly winter morning?
Yeah, okay. Just getting over the jet lag. But yeah, all good. Looking forward to the new year.
Nice one. Okay, well, we'll dive straight in. We've obviously got a few festive bits to work our way through, culminating in a family trip to China. But we'll start in early December, and a bit of a wham-bam for you at the shootout. It was a first-round exit after a 52-29 defeat to China's He Guquang. It seemed like it was one of those days where you certainly didn't get the run of the ball. It turned out to be a scrappy and low-quality frame, typical of the event, really. You put the white twice, the first after a very unlucky clip on a green. You missed an easy green, and you couldn't escape a fairly decent snooker at the end there. And that all came before you basically sort of fell over the line. So a bit of a damp squib for you in Leicester, but how did you reflect on it afterwards?
Yeah, I think that's the third year I think I've got peak first round. So it ain't been a good tournament for the last few years, but you just got to take for what it is. It's quick fire, adrenaline is pumping, and you just got to try and obviously pop the balls in front of you. Like I say, sort of a bit of unlucky, sort of say kiss the green, gone in off, and then played a safe shot, tried to get him in trouble, and went in off, and that's it. Simple as that. That's how the tournament runs, really.
Yeah, that's the shootout, isn't it? Just on the shootout, I ended up doing a big report on the winner, obviously Tom Ford. Lovely story there. Do you know sort of Tom particularly well? Do you sort of know him from over the years?
Yeah, over the years, known him. Yeah, obviously great for him to win. Obviously, been with his manager or sponsor for years, and it was obviously quite fitting for him to. Yeah. Win it, but
Tom's manager passed away for anybody who doesn't know. It's sort of in the run up, and yeah, it was tearful, and the shootout seems to do that a lot. It produces these nice sort of kind of left field snooker stories, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, how things sort of turn out. Mowbray, the first tournament his sponsor didn't come for years, and just so happened Tom gets his hands on his first sort of major trophy, and it happens that way sometimes. Obviously, someone's looking down on you, and you win, sort of thing.
No, absolutely, lovely stuff. There was a better showing from you the following week in Edinburgh, as you beat Jimmy Robertson 4-0 and David Lilly 4-2 at the Scottish Open. You lost in the third round to China's Li Pefan, which I'm sure will have irked you at the time. But given he also knocked out Hossein Vafai, Sean Murphy, Mark Allen, not to mention newly crowned shootout champ Tom Ford, we just talked about him then, on the way to winning the final over Wu Yi's. Perhaps it wasn't a bad result after all. The tournament win in Edinburgh saw the 21-year-old Chinese star shoot up from 84th to 43rd in the world, if anyone doesn't know. So, I mean, given the context, did it make it easier losing to the eventual champ, or given that you had two good opening wins, were you still overall disappointed?
Yeah, another deciding frame loss, but to be honest, I didn't really put a foot wrong. I was 3-1 up in that match. I remember sort of trying to set a trap, and he potted an unbelievable long red and made 137 off it, or 134 off it. And it was one of those that I remember walking off 4-3, bit sort of dumbfounded by it all. But the way he played, he kept doing that. And like you say, he ended up getting his hands on the trophy. So fair play to him. It does show sort of for me that I'm feel close to getting my hands on the trophy. I'm playing well, but I'm just sort of just seems someone's playing that bit better to beat me at the moment. And yeah, but like you say, fair play to him. Obviously another All China final. I think that's at least the second one of the this season. So the Chinese have started to show all their potentials.
Yeah, it's been coming for years, isn't it? I mean, we've all seen it. All these players coming through. There's a big pool of them now. It's hardly a surprise, like you say, we're getting these All China finals, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like you say, was it 1999? I think my first time in China.
Right.
Many moons ago, and. Yeah. sort of, but yeah, they started to show their true colours.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, just before the Christmas, Christmas Day, certainly, you played a World Open qualifier against Scotland's Chris Totten. You won the first frame, but you took the second from 72-0 down. I think you were on for a maxi at that point.
I was, yeah.
Yeah, before making a couple of tons on the way to a 5-1 win. You know, it sounds like one of those defeats to make your head spin. So what went wrong for you, or perhaps just what went right for him?
Like you say, I felt really good in the game, felt confident, felt comfortable. Even at 4-1 down, I felt good. Mm. But it was just one of those days where he did not put a foot wrong.
Yeah.
Like you say, I've won the first, second frame. I was obviously on for a 1-4-7. When tried to open a few reds up, landed on nothing. A couple of safety shots later, he played a shot. I was bridging over to brown. All the reds were open. I ended up getting the white back into bolt, but he potted a good long red, cleared up with 73. And then, like I say, I remember playing a good safe shot at 3-1 down, and he had to go for it. And the white looked like it was playing into all the other reds, and he's potted it. The white somehow got through the reds, and he potted a good yellow in the middle, where if he missed it, he was leaving me the frame. And he made another 100 from it. So it was just one of those that I don't think he's played that well as a pro. So it's just one of those things where even now I'm still a bit, how have I lost that match? I felt so good, but then it does seem to sort of start knocking at your confidence a bit. Am I too open? Am I this? Am I that? But sometimes you just got to hold your hands out and go, well played. Like, it was just his day, and simple as that.
Yeah, we might have to think the Bull Run nickname at this rate if it doesn't serve for you, mate. But yeah.
One.
Okie doke. We'll take a brief interlude for everyone's favourite left field section. It's Carla's ever so clever question. Now, first of all, I think I have to tell you that Carla might actually be one of your biggest social media fans. You know, personally, I've now kind of virtually opted out of the social media world as it gets in my wick. But she keeps me constantly updated with your latest hilarious posts. She was interested to see you all away together on a family holiday / working trip in China over the festive period. And related to that, Carla asked me to ask you, given that you fly all over the world all the time, have you got any good tips for how to get over jet lag, and how do you do it quickly to be ready for matches?
No, I've been for 30 years I've been a pro, and I still don't know the right sort of situation to get myself on the right time zone. I remember a couple of times I've gone to China like 5 or 6 days before, and the first two nights I had a good few drinks, and that seemed to get me on the time zone. But
right.
I don't sort of try and plan on doing that, because older you get, the hangovers take longer. I don't know the secret. Still don't know. We've come back. I think the first night we come back from China, Cheryl was up 3 o'clock taking all the Christmas decorations down.
Yeah.
Cleaning the house and all that. So yeah, we've been a bit all over the place the last few days.
Yeah, you have to turn it to your advantage. We've done it before, come back off the long hauls, and then you've got school on the Monday. It's just a quick turnaround. I think they say is it an hour per day or something you should
allow? That's what I've heard, yeah.
We've all heard melatonin and take your shoes off, walk around, all the old wives' tale. But the bottom line is, it's just, you know, you're jacking your body, aren't you? And it's just sort of tough to get over. Have you ever had a really kind of like, you know, played a match and you're thinking, I'm spinning here, I'm knackered, I should be having a kip or whatever? Has it ever really kind of got you?
Yeah, definitely. Loads of times.
Yeah.
I've had like 1 hour sleep in maybe like 48 hours.
Right.
And you're playing and you feel like a bit like Nemo, sort of like, or Dora.
Yeah.
Sort of concentration's about 30 seconds. So
yeah.
You just got to try and get it at the right time.
Q. Please check the volume of our earpieces. One of them are very loud. Thank you.
Finally, as mentioned throughout the show, you went on a family trip to China over the festive period with the whole Bingham clan, your wife Michelle, son Shay, and daughters Tegan and Marnie. You also played in a four-day invitational Macau Masters at the lovely-looking Wynn Palace Hotel. I could only find some highlights of your match against event winner Ronnie O'Sullivan. But did you enjoy it, and what was it like being on tour with the family?
I can tell you how good it was. Times that by about 10, and that's how good it was.
Right.
It was just unbelievable experience. We got looked after so well. Yeah. Like I say, we all flew out business class.
Lovely.
Obviously, on the way home, my daughter Marnie's gone like, "Dad, next time, can we go first class?"
Oh, it's like, you've set the bar, have you? Blimey. Yeah.
It's like they... Obviously, we see an EasyJet plane, and she's like, "Oh, look at that little plane there."
Yeah. Oh, no, you've done it now, haven't you? That's it for you. I tell you, it's time to win a few tournaments.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like you say, the tournament, it was like an exhibition. Mm. It weren't even a tournament. It was like exhibition matches.
It was
really.
Kind of a bit of a round robin. You all sort of played each other. I saw Ronnie didn't lose, but it was like you say, it was very much an exhibition. It was a showcase. It was a celebration almost. It looked brilliant. It looked really good.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Mm. I played one match, and I was the last match on against Ronnie.
Yeah.
The crowd, like, even the crowd there was mad. Obviously, Michelle's never experienced China before, so...
Oh, was her first time there, was it? Right, okay, yeah.
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 So, obviously, it was in Macau, which is between Hong Kong and China, so...
Right. Yep.
I'm not sure what it comes under.
Mm.
But I said to Michelle, she was getting ready, I went, "You need to hurry up, because Ronnie was playing a match against Kyron Wilson before me."
Right.
And I said, "If that finishes and we're walking in around the lobby," I said, it'll be manic.
Yeah.
She went, "All right, I'm just getting ready. I'm just like," and we walked down, and Ronnie's match obviously already finished.
Right.
And then I got surrounded by obviously photographers, autographs, and they even like pushing Marnie out of the way to get a picture with me.
Oh, blimey.
And like Michelle was like, "All right, calm down." I said, "Michelle, this is what I told you. This is what it's like."
Yeah.
And she just couldn't believe it. She's obviously never seen that way. And I went, "I told you, we need to get down there quick."
Yeah. That's crazy, so, isn't it? It's like a different world, that kind of, you know, that real red carpet-y celebrity type thing, you know. It's
And they don't care who they push out of the way.
Oh,
or,
really? They're still proper paparazzi, are they?
There's no like an order of a queue. It's just they just don't care who they get in the front of or who they knock out of the way. Yeah. They just want that picture done, sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it's probably a discussion for another podcast. But I've noticed the snooker lot doing the Hong Kong flip. You know, they're all gathering over there. I just wonder if it might just tempt you, the boy out of Basildon, in the coming years. But as I say, it's one for a chat in the future. I just stayed on the China trip. As listeners may know, I always ask Stuart to send over, you know, any good sort of pictures that we can use as the podcast image. Now, the family one, it looks to me like the classic dad orders family to pose for holiday shot while everyone moans about it. Was that about the size of it?
I can't remember what one I actually sent you.
There's a shot of you, all of you, on the bench, and it just sort of seems like, you know, I've done it a million times. Like, look, we're here, we paid for it. Please pose for a picture just to prove we've been here, you know. But it's a bench on a slant. It's a green bench. You've got a backdrop of buildings.
That's it.
Yeah.
That was the old Macau. It was like the Portugal side of Macau.
Right.
And obviously, I've actually edited it. We was all in the line, Kyron Wilson's family, Taylor,
right,
Sophie's sister and husband, and so we was all in the line, and I've just obviously edited it just to add to my family.
Ah, that makes sense now. I see. You've cut the Wilsons out, right? I got
that's
you.
It.
And just on the pictures, there's one of you and Kyron handing over gifts to Paul Lee, who I understand is the managing director of Sailing Up Sports, the event organisers. I'm guessing he was a top guy who loves his snooker, right?
Yeah, he's the one who organised it. Yeah. Unbelievable. Couldn't do enough for us, and sort of maybe through Taylor working with him, hopefully in the near future for other stuff in China.
Lovely stuff. Okay, before we sign off, we should let everyone know that you are next in action later this week in Championship League. And then you face Tapacha Uno at the German Masters on Monday, January the 27th. Are you looking forward to your latest visit to the Tempodrome?
Yeah, I haven't been there for about 6 years, I think.
It's
so
not really that long.
It's Tepchai Uno.
Thank
for the
you.
Next time.
Yeah, we should always do a bigger corrects my butchering of the names. Yeah, I should just go surnames.
I could go on with my mum and dad. It's great to hear my mum and dad try and say these Chinese names.
I bet.
And I always just laugh at them.
Do you know, we might have to record that for the podcast.
There you go, that'd be brilliant.
That's the soundbite, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, that'll make me feel
that'd be bad. That'd be Carla's. That'd be my mum and dad's side of Carla's.
Yeah. 100...
Ever so interesting.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Maury tackles, Bingham's latest opponent, Fulham.
That's it. Yeah. That'd be brilliant. Yeah.
Well, if you're listening, guys, Stuart's got my WhatsApp. Obviously, send the soundbite over and we'll weave it in. But yeah, we'll stop before we get in any more trouble with our families, as we tend to do. So it only remains for me to say thank you very much for your time today, Stuart, and to wish you the best of luck for your matches this month.
Thanks a lot. Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you.